You've probably all heard at some point now, you know, that there's different ways that people give and receive affection or love, different kinds of ways that different personalities show that. Some things are like quality time or quantity time, or there's all these kinds of things like five love languages, different stuff like that. But Erica, my wife, one of the things that she's really good at and really values is giving and receiving gifts. And she's great at it. I mean, she will think of people and do all this stuff. The interesting thing in our marriage is I am horrible at this. I mean, I never think to get somebody a gift, like pretty much ever. It's just, it doesn't really ever even occur to me. Like, it could be like a normal time you would give somebody a gift and everybody's showing up with their gifts and I'm like, oh shoot, like, this was a gift time? Like, I don't get it. So the only time that really seems to click for my brain is like birthday and Christmas. That's about it. So I really try, like, especially Christmas time, to like make sure that I get my wife like good gifts, you know, because I'm like, this is like when I remember, like, oh yeah, I got it. And sadly, I don't always remember like well in advance. It could be like 3 weeks out. I'm like, oh yeah, gifts, like, got to get that on. So, and the thing is, you know, when you give somebody a gift, especially somebody who really values gifts, you have to get like, not like, it doesn't have to be expensive or something, but it has to be something meaningful, you know, so it's got to be a good gift that you clearly thought through, and because they can tell, you know, like, if you just are like, here's the gift card, they're like, oh, okay, all right, you know, thanks, but it doesn't mean the same, you know, because like, this is like love language time here. So I try to do things, but I'm pretty pitiful, because I actually know what she wants. She wants clothes. And I tried to get her clothes, especially early on in marriage. I got clothes, and for whatever reason, it never worked. It was always like, oh, she's like, thanks so much, honey, but it's like, this is the wrong color. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I don't, you know, especially early on, I was like, I had no idea what that meant. Or then it was the wrong size or something. So after several years, I give up on the clothes. Like, I am completely inept at buying her clothes. I'm just not even going to bother because it's just not going to work. So I found other things to do. But this last Christmas, I usually take all the kids with me. We like go to Target or something, which is one of her favorite stores, and we try to find gifts. Which is always interesting with five kids anyway. But this last year, I was like, no, we're going to do it. She's not going to expect it. We're going to get some clothes, and we're going to make it happen. And so we're like scouring the store, and we're like, okay, what about this? And I was like, no, because then my kids were pulling up stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's not it. But then eventually, I felt like, okay, we've got some items that I feel like might actually work. So we came to Christmas, and I was kind of, you know, a little anxious and a little excited. Like, I think we've got it this time. And she pulled out every article, and she was like, oh, I like this. And I was like, yes! I was like, we did it, and they fit, and they worked. And I was like, it's only taken 10 years, but I finally got the right gift. And it was just so exciting for me because I wanted to show her how much I loved her, and I knew this was a way that she would really receive that love well. And so I wanted to be able to show her love by giving her a good gift because it was important to her. And today I want us to take a look at how Jesus shows his love for us and how he actually asks us to show our love for one another and for those around us. And so we're going to be in John 13, you're going to pick it up here in John 13, verse 1. And so I'm going to read this for us, and you can follow along in your Bibles on your devices if you like. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not every one was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So what's happening here is really kind of cool. I think to some extent we lose some of the meaning of this often because we don't think about it culturally, because we don't like go into people's homes and have our feet washed. Like, that's just not something we typically do. But this is actually something that was regular back then because, you know, even if you have smelly feet, your feet are not actually that dirty comparatively. We have socks, we have shoes, we have things that keep like the dirt and the grime from the world out. But for this time period, they didn't have that stuff. Most of them are wearing opened, you know, sole or open toe shoes or sandals or something that the dirt and the grime and everything they walk through is going to get caked on their foot. And back then especially, that means it's going to be kind of mud and whatever's on the road, probably some kind of, you know, animal droppings mixed in there and other kinds of trash. And so all of that's going to mix up and get on somebody's foot. So it's really disgusting. I mean, it's really filthy. So your feet would just get so filthy, and so it was a natural thing that there would be somebody to wash feet, but not anybody would just wash feet. Like, people wouldn't normally wash somebody else's foot. That was kind of a degrading thing almost. That was something that was left for servants or for somebody else who was beneath you. So you would not just volunteer to, like, oh, I'll wash your feet. Actually, even like normally disciples wouldn't just wash their master's feet. Like, that was still something that was kind of beneath them. They're like, no, I am your follower, but there's a line. And washing your feet is definitely past that line. Okay? And so the disciples would understand this. So when Jesus gets up, takes off his outer clothing, wraps a towel around himself, and starts washing their feet, if you can imagine it, they're probably sitting there going like, I think some of them are just in shock. Like, what is going on right now? Like, I cannot believe what is happening right now. And you actually get it from Peter, who's always the most brash and one to step up. And he's like, what are you doing, Jesus? Like, this is scandalous to him. He's like, no, there's no way in the world that you're going to wash my feet, because I can't let you be like degraded in that way and be humiliated in that way. It's not happening. Right? This is his response. And it's actually it's actually probably a response that most of the other disciples are feeling. Like, I don't even know what to do right now. And so they're going with it because he's the master, but at the same time, there's probably this sense of like, I don't like this, I can't understand this, what is happening? Because this was not something that was done, especially not like the master doing it for his followers. It just would not be done. But Jesus does it. And I think it's interesting here is that he wants to show them something that's very, very different. It says here, at least in the NIV, it says that he's showing them, he now shows them the full extent of his love. Or love, he loves them till the end. The idea here is kind of the uttermost, that he's showing his love to the fullest capacity, in a sense. And it says, and as he shows them this, what he does is, he goes and he serves them in this very humiliating, basically degrading kind of fashion. And this is what he does for them. Why? To show them his love. And they're just kind of in shock by this. Kind of like, wow, what is this? And so he serves them in this way to show them his love. And then, after he's done it, he goes, you guys understand that wasn't normal, right? But now I want you to do what I've done. I want you to continue in the practice that I've set. Because I want you to show people love the way that I've showed people love, by serving them. And Jesus is coming against something that's very natural to us. See, we don't want to serve other people naturally as human beings. If you have kids at all, or if you've seen little kids, you will get this. You don't have to teach a kid to, like, be selfish. That's not something that ever has to be taught. I mean, basically, from the moment they come out of the womb, they're very demanding and, like, it's all about me. But as they get older, they can put words to it and they can say it. I feel like this happens basically daily, multiple times a day in my house. I will walk into a room and there's some mess left from somebody, and I don't know who, and I'll be like, who left this mess here? It needs to be cleaned up. Can somebody clean this up? And immediately there'll be five responses of, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. It's not my responsibility. Somebody else did it. And I'm like, well, one of you must have done it. But they've clearly realized that if we don't know, then if they can all just deny, that I can't actually don't know which one it is. So sometimes that means they all have to clean. But always it seems this thing of like, I don't want to do it. Like, it's not my thing. It's a continual thing. If it's not mine, I'm not going to do it because it wasn't something that I had to do. It wasn't my fault. Even if it was their fault, they'll say it's not my fault. But serving others is not something that really comes naturally to us. We want to be the ones served. Not only that, but there's something in us that we want to be, like, elevated. You know, we like to be the ones who are praised or lifted up or recognized or you know, honored. And there's some good things in that, but that's something that's more natural for us to say, like, yeah, I want to be recognized and honored. And so sometimes even when we serve, we'll serve and it's more like, well, I'm doing this because then people will recognize how good I am. And so even in our service, sometimes it's really about us and being recognized and elevated. But this act that Jesus does here is not an act like that. You know, he's here at the dinner with his disciples. Nobody else is really around. And this is not an act that people would be like, oh, wow, that's so cool. This is an act that's like scandalous. They're like, what are you doing? Like, there's no benefit that Jesus is getting from this act. There's no getting lifted up in the eyes of other people. This is literally a humiliating, more degrading act of, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve you in a way that is humbling. And that's what he does. And he does it again because he loves them. And he wants to show the full extent of his love to them. And so he serves them. Yeah, I think that for a lot of us, we have a hard time with the idea of serving people because it's hard. Because it's not something we want to do. I think sometimes it's easier to serve in big ways when there's a big thing that goes on. But something like washing somebody's feet doesn't clue in. For instance, okay, washing feet isn't something we really get. So, and this is not a perfect example, and I'll tell you why. But this week, somebody in my house clogged a toilet. I have no idea who. Wasn't me. There's seven of us. Yeah, wasn't me. Another kid didn't know it was clogged, used the toilet, all of a sudden was like crying out because there's now really dirty toilet water just pouring out of the toilet, like filling the bathroom. And I'm looking at this, and I know it's not that kid's fault. You know, I'm like, you didn't know it was clogged. You clearly didn't clog it because you're now using it. But there's like just water, just stuff everywhere. And it's so much that I'm like, I don't even have like the right mop system to like get this off the floor. So now I'm like, so I guess I have to like get a towel and like sop all this up on my hands and knees and then go clean it, you know. And everything in me was like, I should get Erica to do this. You know, like, I mean, let's be honest. That's the first thought in my head. It's like, there's somebody else here who could do this. It's not my fault. Right? It's not my fault. And literally, that was the first thought in my head. And then the second thought was, aren't you preaching on serving this week? And I was like, oh, man. And then it became very real to me because all of a sudden I was like, wait. If I'm going to serve and show love to my wife and my kids, then I should just jump on this and clean this up and do it with a smile on my face and not even bring attention to it. Just get it done. Why? Because I love them and I want them to know that I love them. And even if they don't recognize that it happened, even if they don't know that it happened, I'm showing them my love by serving them in quite a degrading way as I'm in there with poopy water on my hands and knees. Now, I didn't actually do it that well because I was grumbling and complaining. And Erica's like, are you okay? And I was like, would you be okay if you're on your hands and knees? Okay, so clearly I didn't do it perfectly. Okay? I got about halfway there. But see, I think there are things in our lives like cleaning a bathroom that happen to us all the time, that our natural response is to ignore, deny, or push off to somebody else and say, it's not my problem, it's not my fault, it's not my responsibility, somebody else can take care of this. And I think what Jesus is saying here is no. We are to be those who serve others. We are to be those who look for ways to serve others. And by that, I mean we're not just sitting here waiting for something to come smacking us up in the face like water pouring out of a toilet. We're looking constantly for ways to look around us at the people around us and be like, how can I serve you? How can I do something that's going to help you, be beneficial to you? Maybe it might even be humiliating or degrading for me, but I'm going to go out of my way to look for ways to serve you so that you will feel the love of Christ. So that you will know I love you, that God loves you, that you will feel that love because I have served you. And not so that I will be high and lifted up. I have served you simply because I want to show you love. And if we're honest with our spouses, with our kids, with our families, with our roommates, with our coworkers, with people around us, even just as we were up and down the streets, there are countless little ways that there are every day for us to serve other people that most of us, including myself, let us pass by because we're just like, I don't want to do that. That's beneath me. I don't have the time. Whatever our excuses are. And so we don't serve. The sad fact is this. These kinds of acts of service, like Jesus does in the washing of the feet, I think are some of the greatest displays of love that exist on this earth. When somebody serves you in a way that is just humbling, that they don't get anything out of it, other people don't know it. They're not getting public recognition. Nobody's going to lift them on a pedestal, but they serve you. And it's in something that you wish, you're almost embarrassed that they did it. Just like Peter, you're almost embarrassed that they helped serve you because you wish they didn't have to help you with that. But you really needed it. And they jump in and they serve you. If you've ever had somebody help you like that, you are blown away. Not just by the act, you are blown away by the love that they are showing you. It just boggles our mind. We can't even begin to comprehend that somebody would serve us like that. That's what's happening here with Jesus washing his disciples' feet. He is blowing their mind by this simple act that they can't even fathom what is happening. Because he's serving them. And they don't deserve it. That's not what it's about. It's about Jesus loving them to the end, to the uttermost, to the full extent. He's showing them, this is who I am. Yeah, I think one of the reasons that we are having a really hard time as people to do this is we are people who are very insecure in general. We are people who are not sure of ourselves. And so when something comes along and we can see this is beneath me, we don't jump into it. Why? Because then part of our thought is, well, if I do this, then people will think, well, he's just, you know, of course he should do that. He's not worth that much. That's what he's supposed to do. I'm like, no, this isn't my job. It's not my responsibility. Somebody else should take care of this. Like, I'm entitled to not have to deal with that. And maybe you are. You know what's interesting is that in this passage, it says that Jesus says, or it says about Jesus, Jesus knew that he'd been given all power and authority over everything. That's power and authority over everything. He knows he's been given full power, full authority, and so it says, so he took off his outer garments and washed their feet. He understood completely who he was. He understood that he was the top dog. He had everything he needed, and he had full power and authority to do whatever he wanted, and so he humbles himself and washes his disciples' feet. I want to encourage you that you are a child of God. You are a co-heir with Christ. You've been raised to the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. You are loved. You are the beloved. You are just in God's eyes, you are so special and treasured. And I want to encourage you that if you understand who you are in Jesus and how much he loves you and how valued you are by him, you will be able to humble yourself and serve others in a way you didn't think you were capable of. Because you will know, no matter what anybody else thinks, no matter whether this is something that's beneath me or not, I'm secure in who I know I am with Christ. And as you are detached, as you remain and abide in Christ, you will see these opportunities, knowing who you are in Christ, and you will know that his heart is for you to show his love through your act of service. The question for us today is, are we serving? Are we looking for ways to serve? I just want to make this very clear again. And I'm not just saying, like, you know, many of you are serving at church, and we're so grateful for that. And actually, even some of the service needs that we've had have been met in the last couple of weeks, and we're so grateful for that. What I'm talking about today isn't even about whether you served at church or not, or served at some center or some other place. What I'm talking about is a lifestyle of service where we're saying, how can I serve those around me? Day to day, moment to moment, what is there for me to show my love for other people, even if you don't have love for them, to receive the love of God, to say, as I am filled with the Holy Spirit, as I'm filled with the power and the love of God, that I can let his love flow through me to show love to others by serving those maybe I don't even know. I think personally that if there was a group of people that began to serve, to live like this, to live looking for ways to serve people with all of their heart, without being lifted up or exalted themselves, just looking for ways to serve, to show the love of Christ, I think communities would change. I really do. I think if we had a whole group of people like this room who really began to serve like this to all those around us, our communities would change. Because people would be impacted by the love of Christ in a way they could not ignore, in a way that was almost uncomfortable, but made them stop and ponder and go, why would they do this? And we could say, because Jesus loves you. Because he loves me. This is what he's done for me. And so this is why I did this for you. Let's be those who serve. We just jump in. And let's remember, this is an act of love. When I first got married, there were lots of things that I did horribly wrong, as most of us do. But one of those things is, you know, there's daily chores that have to be done. Things like the dishes. And at first I was thinking, I don't want to do the dishes. And so it's kind of like a battle of who can wait out the other longer to see who's going to do the pile of dishes. And then even if I would like kind of grumbling do the dishes, you'd hear the, if you've been married any length of time as a guy, you've probably heard the phrase, I want to do the dishes, which I would hear. And I'd be like, who in the world wants to do dishes? I don't. But as I began to, as God began to kind of smack me upside the head and teach me some things, I began to realize that doing the dishes was a way I could show my wife I loved her. That if I was doing the dishes so that she didn't have to, that this was something I could do physically to just be like, you don't have to do this because I've taken care of it and you don't even have to think about it because I'm going to do those dishes. And you know what? When I began to think of it as I can show my wife I love her by doing this, this is an act of love, all of a sudden I was like, you know what? I kind of actually like doing the dishes. Not because the dishes are fun, because I love my wife. And it changed the way I looked at it. I just want to encourage you. Think of service and serving others as a way to love them. Think of those people and how much you love them, how much God loves them, and let that be the motivation. Let that be the driving force of your service and your act. That this is your tangible, practical way of showing them love. Because this is the example that Christ set up for us. So again, I ask, are we serving as he served us? Let's pray.